Acts, Genesis, chapter 27, verses 1 to 29. Jacob gets Isaac's blessing. Verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau. "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son, Esau. When Esau left for an open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son, Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." Verse 13. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." Verse 27. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Juliana. Let us come before the Lord and join our minds and hearts together and worship him by means of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we give thanks to you because you are not only our Redeemer, but also our friend. In you, we find unfailing love and steadfast faithfulness. O Lord, we pray that each one of us will really make an effort to invest in our relationship with you by means of drawing near to you daily through Bible study and prayer. O Lord, may we treasure this relationship, and may we continue to grow in this relationship so that we can all walk in a way worthy of our calling in you. Lord, we pray that you indeed are our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and may we all worship no one but you. O God, when we go astray, may you bring us back to you. When we falter, may you strengthen us. When things seem to be discouraging, may you help us to continue to hope in you. O Lord, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, we pray that you bless not only us individually, but our church corporately. And may this church continue to be like you, to shine for you, to continue to be the place where people can come and hear the gospel and get saved. Lord, we pray that you keep this church vibrant, you keep this church spiritually fresh, because you are the living God and your Spirit is alive in us and in our midst. Heavenly Father, we remember some of us who may be writing exams soon as the school year draws near to an end. We pray that you will help us all study well. May our studies truly bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, some of us may be looking for summer work, and we pray that you will provide for us, and may we lack nothing in you. And today is a special day in that our beloved brother and sister Kelvin and Rosie are getting married this afternoon. We pray for them as they are joined together in Christ. We pray that you bless this marriage, and you bless their relationship together in you. May their family truly be a Christ-like family. And so we commit the ceremony and the whole afternoon and evening to you. May you rejoice, may you enjoy this wonderful day together with your people. And Lord, as we open your word to Genesis chapter 27, we pray that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, so that we can see and truly understand what your word has to say to us this morning. Give us humility, and give us a teachable spirit, and give us that willing heart to walk accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, good morning. It's good to share the word of God with you again. Before I study the chapter with you this morning, I want to give thanks to God for how he has been sustaining us in the past 2 weeks. My health is getting better, and my body is getting stronger. Even though I may have gone through quite an ordeal, I still recognize that this is a good experience for me. And I believe that it's not just for me, but also for the short-term mission team members. Through my discomfort and serious illness, I believe that God has brought us closer to him and brought us closer to each other. It is strange to say, before I went on this short-term mission, I prayed to God that I really wanted to experience Him in an extraordinary way. I've been a Christian for many years, and I've been a pastor for a number of years. My life on the whole has been relatively smooth. It's not that I never had any trials and testings. I did have, you know, a certain measure of them, and yet I still wanted to experience God in a very special way. And God did not disappoint me. Even though I was ill, even though I went through a lot, and yet God really let me see what a great God He is, what an amazing God He is, what a powerful God He is. And it's not just I, but the team members. You talk to Uncle Robert and other team members, you will discover this trip has been more a blessing to us than us being a blessing to the Ghanaian people. We thought we would go there to spread the good news, to visit the local church. And yet in the end, we left with abundant blessings. Right, Robert? Yeah. And so I want to give thanks to God, and to God be the glory. And also thank you very much for your prayer, for your support while we were there and in the past 2 weeks. I still need to gain a bit of weight. I'm not there yet. I lost 10 pounds, as I said last time, but I'm getting there. Auntie Eva is feeding me very well, and I really appreciate that. And she's been a wonderful wife. Anyway, enough of that. Let us focus our attention on Genesis chapter 27. Now, this chapter talks about how Jacob deceived his father to get his blessings with the help of his mother, Rebekah. Now, this chapter talks about not only the deceit of human beings, but it lets us have a glimpse of what a family tragedy looks like, how relationships amongst family members are broken, broken relationship between spouses, husband and wife, mother and father, and brothers. Despite all this, we give thanks to God because human weaknesses, human corruption could never deter or obstruct God's plan. In the end, all things work for the good of those who love God, and God's will still is fulfilled. And so let us look at this family tragedy as it unfolds before our eyes. And let us look at what each of the four members has done so that their behavior, their conduct may serve as an example to all of us today. Now, in the first act, there are four acts altogether. In the first act of this tragedy, we see Father Isaac and the older born son, Esau, is recorded in verse 1 to verse 4. Now, the Bible says at that time, Isaac was old. His eyesight was not good. As a matter of fact, he couldn't see anymore. But Isaac loves his son Esau, and he wants to bless him. And Esau's thinking is similar to traditional Chinese thinking. The wealth of the family should be inherited by the firstborn. And yet, the way that Isaac carries out that blessing is problematic. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong is Isaac acts according to his own desire, according to his own intention. First of all, he told Esau to go hunt for a game and bring it back home to make a tasty meal for him to enjoy. And then he would pronounce blessings on Esau. And some people thought, well, this is the tradition of the time. But actually, it's not. Because when you look at Genesis chapter 49, there it talks about Jacob blessing his sons and grandchildren. Jacob did not ask for the children or the grandchildren to do anything for him first before he would pronounce blessings on them. And so getting something to eat, you know, enjoying a tasty meal, definitely is not a tradition before any blessing is pronounced at the time. Now, Isaac loves Esau for a reason, and that is Esau is a good cook. He knows how to please his father by making tasty food for him. And so even before he would pronounce blessings on his firstborn, Isaac desired for that. And Isaac acted according to his own intention, according to his desire. He wanted to have his own desire fulfilled or filled to be satisfied. Unfortunately, that brought about some wicked result. Now, whenever we deal with things or interact with people, even in matters concerning ministry, many a time we tend to think about ourselves first. What's it for me? You know, what do I get out of this? And then we think about, you know, God. And we think about our needs first before we think about what God wants us to do. When we do that in that priority, in that order, very easily problems will arise. Now, Isaac has another fault, and that is he disregards God's promise or prophecy. Before the twins, that is Esau and Jacob, were born, God already told Isaac and Rebekah that the older will serve the younger. This is a prophecy and this is a promise. But Isaac truly loves Esau. He does not pay attention to this revelation of God. In addition, he really wants to enjoy a good, tasty game meal. And so he disregards God's prophecy. And this is his fault. Now, Isaac's conduct, the way he conducts himself, serves as a warning, serves as an example to parents in our midst. I believe that all parents love their children a great deal. All parents would want to teach and guide their children according to the Bible. However, there may be times when parents face temptation too. They face the temptation between choosing God's way and their own desire. Let me give you a simple example. Many of us are still students, and the school year is fast coming to an end. And I'm sure your parents would like you to study hard, to really get a good grade, so that they be happy, you be happy, and it is good for the family. But in the process, some parents may just let the children not go to church on Sundays or go to any meetings during the week, because that would, really cut down the time of review of their studies. Now, by doing so, parents would give a wrong concept, a wrong value system to the children. The children may think, oh, okay, getting a good grade, doing well in school is more important than worshiping God, then, you know, going to church, you know, going to church may not be as important, but getting a good grade is more important. So this is not the kind of value I believe parents want to pass on to our children. And so may the Spirit of God help us all. Every time we make a decision, may we be able to discern God's will and follow through accordingly, so that our decision can be pleasing and acceptable to God, and it will be a blessing to us, to everybody concerned. The second scenario in this family tragedy involves Rebecca and her younger son, Jacob. It's found in verse 5 to 17. No doubt, Rebecca loves Jacob. When she heard that Isaac wanted to bless Esau, she went and told Jacob to follow her instruction in order to deceive the father. Where has Rebecca gone wrong? What is her fault? Well, her fault is she wants to use her own way to accomplish God's will. I have no doubt that Rebecca remembers the promise that God gave to her before the two sons were born. The older shall serve the younger. I believe that she thinks, well, when I instruct my son to deceive the father to get the blessings, it is reasonable because, you know, it's in accordance with God's promise. Sooner or later, Jacob would get that blessing anyway. Rebecca plays the role of God. She wants to fulfill God's will on her own. This is definitely a no-no for any of us. We think that oh, because we have the right target, we have the right goal, and our purpose is admirable, so it doesn't matter how we achieve it. In the process, even if there is something improper, it's still okay. But I dare say, and I want to say, definitely it's not. God doesn't want us to do that. He is definitely not pleased with that kind of behavior. Now, while Rebecca is at fault, Jacob cannot be excused either. In the beginning, he was hesitant. It's not that he did not agree with his mother's plan, but he was concerned, he was worried, because his skin is smooth, his brother's is hairy, and he was afraid that he could not really deceive his father. What if the plan did not go through? What if he did not get the blessing? Instead, he got curses brought down on him. But then his mother, Rebecca, encouraged him, saying, well, I've got this plan, and you just follow through, and even if the curses come, I will bear all the curses for you. And so Jacob agreed to become an accomplice. Now, the Bible does teach children to honor their father and their mother, to obey them. But it surely doesn't include when our parents tell us to do something unrighteous, something wrong. If we follow along with our parents, it is really not good for us. And also we help our parents to do something displeasing in God's sight. From the beginning to the end, Rebecca is definitely the first culprit. But Jacob also shares the responsibility. He did not reject his mother's plan for his own benefit, his own blessings, even if it would bring down curses on them. He would still like to go along with his mother. There are many people in society like that. For the purpose of fame and for the purpose of all sorts of gain, They don't care what other people think. They don't care about other people's welfare. The most important thing is their own. And so they would reject, they would scheme, they would plan, using all sorts of improper ways to get their own gain. And maybe some of us who are working now, in your workplace, you may have come across people like that. And may the Spirit of God help you really stand the ground of being a Christian. Really understand how God wants you to behave amongst other people. May you not just follow the crowd and do something wrong in the process displeases God. Now, Rebecca knows that, and she believes that God's will is such that Jacob will be stronger than Esau. And in fact, if she really has strong faith, she would really have to, she would wait for God. But unfortunately, she was so impatient. She did not wait for God to fulfill the plan. Instead, she acted, she played the role of God, and she used her own way to fulfill God's plan. Now, no doubt Rebecca loves Jacob, but to teach her own son to cheat the father, to deceive the father, definitely that is not what God would like to see them do. The way that Rebecca loves Jacob serves as another example to parents today. Many parents like to pamper, like to dote on their children, but in the process, they spoil them. They maybe, turn them into somebody whom they don't really want. No doubt, the Bible teaches us that love bears all things, but love is more than that. Love dislikes any unrighteousness. Love loves only the truth. And so, when Jacob deceived his father and cheated on his brother Esau, he was forced to run away because they were very angry and his brother wanted to kill him. And as he left the family for so many years, who suffered? He himself suffered, his mother Rebecca suffered, and they really reaped what they had sown. And this is not what we want to do in our lives. The way that Rebecca treats Jacob, the way that Esau loves Isaac loves Esau, reminds us parents that we should not dote on our children. We should not pamper them, lest there would be disharmony, there would be unfortunate incidents happen. All of you know that I've got three kids, Felicia, Felix, and Fidelia. One thing I really appreciate what Auntie Eva has done for all of them is she treats everybody the same. She is never biased toward anybody. She does not have any favorite child, so to speak. She would not compare them amongst themselves. Oh, you are better in school. You are more active in this, and you do this better. Auntie Eva would never do that. She would only teach them to compare themselves with themselves, to know whether or not they have made an effort in school. They have really done their best to make any progress, and they have really, done their best to follow God. Now, when children know that they are not, parents' brats or spoiled children, they would not want to compare themselves with one another because they know that they are loved. And when they know that they are loved by their parents, they will only do their best to please God and to please their parents. And they would help each other out when problems arise. And so whenever there is problem at home, especially amongst children, perhaps we parents need to really reflect on this and examine ourselves in the process. Have we done something wrong? Have we contributed to that? Now, the third act in the tragedy involves Jacob and Isaac. It's found in verses 18 to 29. Now, so what has Jacob done wrong? What is his fault? Well, his fault is he deceived Isaac to get the blessing, right? Even when his mother promises to bear all the curses, even when he had to abuse the name of God, he still wanted to go ahead. When Jacob brought the food that his mother Rebekah prepared for the father, he came before the father. At that time, as the Bible says, Isaac was old. He couldn't really see, but he was still very mentally alert. And as Jacob approached him, there was doubt on his mind. He wondered if the person standing in front of him was truly Esau. And so he asked, "How come you could find a hunter game so fast and prepare the food so fast?" And at that time, Jacob lied, right? He said, "Oh, it's your God who allows me to run into this, to have this wonderful opportunity to hunt the game." Now, every time Isaac raises his doubt, whether it is, "Oh, the voice is Jacob's voice, but it doesn't really sound like Esau," or, "Are you truly my son, Esau?" or, "Son, come up to me and let me kiss you." Every time Isaac raises this kind of question, we wonder, you know, how come Isaac could be deceived so easily? If you and I were Isaac, you know, we wouldn't be deceived so easily. Every time Jacob seemed to be, you know, able to get away. Now, if you or I were Jacob, I'm sure when we were pressed by Isaac, when we were, you know, questioned by Isaac, we would be very scared, right? But as we read the Bible, Jacob was very calm. He acted as if nothing was happening, and he even dragged God into the whole deception. "Oh, your God, he so blessed me, and I had this wonderful opportunity to hunt the game." Isaac is truly very cunning. He's a sly person. Now, Isaac ate the game. He drank the wine, and he was satisfied. And when Jacob drew near to him, and he could smell the odor of the cloth, right? It's not Jacob's, but it is Esau's. And so Isaac was really thinking, "Oh, he is my firstborn." And so he blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Now, Isaac made that mistake. He trusted his own desire. He followed his own desire. And he did not really remember what God had promised. So in the end, he blessed a son who is not truthful, who is deceitful. He blessed a son who even abused the name of God in the whole process. We all know the meaning of Jacob. Jacob means grabbing or grabber. When he was born, he grabbed his older brother Esau's heel. And even at that moment, you know, he showed his character. He was very competitive. He wanted to grab everything for his own gain. So this really truly played out in the first part of his life. He was always fighting for something. He was always competitive. First, he cheated his brother Esau's firstborn, status, and then he cheated his brother for the blessings. He would use whatever means for his own gain, even if it meant cheating his brother, cheating his father, he wouldn't care. He wouldn't care. Now, in fact, God is all ready to bless Jacob. As I said time and again, God says the older will serve the younger. And yet, Isaac or Jacob just simply wanted to use his own way to get God's blessing. He did not want to wait for God to fulfill that will. But when he did that, he angered his brother and he had to leave. And when he went to his uncle's place, Laban, and stayed there for over 20 years, he suffered a great deal. He was cheated by his uncle Laban. And he reaped what he sowed. And Jacob used different ways to make his own gain. But in the end, he was a great loser. And still, God loved him. God used his own weakness. God used Jacob's weakness. God used the different situations to shape and mold Jacob, to help him get transformed into a new person. And this is the lesson that we all can learn. Yes, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I am a spiritually healthy person, and I have certain gifts, I have certain abilities, certainly God can use us. But that may not be the case. You know, God can also use a person full of weaknesses in order to accomplish, to achieve his will. Just like this short-term mission team. All of us thought we would go to Ghana to share the good news, to visit the local church, to encourage the local Christians. We thought we would be doing that. But in the period of 14 days or so, we really saw how weak we were, not only physically, but also spiritually. At one time, you know, the short-term mission team got lost far up in the north of the country, almost close to the border of another country. And it took them 5 hours to find the destination where they wanted to go. And on the way, the team was tired. They began to wonder if they should continue to go to that place. And they mumbled and they complained a little bit. You see, human weakness began to surface when things did not go right. But, you know, God blessed them. Despite their weakness, despite their complaint, God continued to guide them, and after many hours of looking for that place, they got there, and thank God that they did get there, because the village people have been waiting for them for all that time, you know, 5 hours, waiting for the team to go and worship together with them. 180 villagers from all over the area came and praised the Lord and worshiped together with the worship team. That was a wonderful experience. We didn't want to go. We were getting tired and we complained. And yet God used that to show us what a wonderful God he is, what a loving God he is, what a caring God he is. And so in the end, the worship team members got more out of that and in many other occasions than the local people. We are weak, but God can use people like us to accomplish what he sets out to do. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us believe that God does love us, and he surely wants to bless us according to his way, abundantly. But unfortunately, a lot of times, we are just like Jacob. We don't want to wait for God. We don't want to follow God's way to achieve, to get God's blessings. We want to use our own ways to grab what we think rightfully belongs to us. But in the end, we may have, you know, suffered a lot. We may have lost our ways. We may have gone through so many detours before we would get to where God wants us to go. Today, our society is such that it is very self-centered. People, including you and me, would say, it is my way, it is my feeling, it is my need, it is my, you know, timing. And everything is me, 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 me. But when we focus on ourselves, we tend to neglect what God is able to do through us according to His time. And when we follow on our own desire, we may not be able to achieve what God wants us to achieve. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, there is a way which seems to be right to us, but in the end, it leads to death. And so let us be aware of that kind of self-centeredness. Let us be aware of that kind of selfish desire. Because in the end, if it is not God's will, if it is not God's way, we will suffer unnecessarily. And the final act of the tragedy is involves this these two brothers, Esau and Isaac. It is found in verse 30 to verse 40. Because of time, we're not going to read them, but let me just summarize what these 11 verses say. When Esau finished hunting, he was very happy because he got the game. He went home and prepared a tasty meal for his father. He was so ready to serve his father. He was so expectant of his father's blessing. But then when he got to his father, he got that, heartbreaking news. His younger brother, Jacob, had already gone and got the blessing instead. Now, Esau was very sad. Once again, he was cheated by his younger brother, and he lost the greatest blessing. And now he can only receive the second class blessing. He could only live by sword, and he could only serve his younger brother, Jacob. Now, what fault does Esau have? Well, I believe that Esau's mistake is he does not respect his own status as the firstborn. He does not treasure it. He does not look highly on that position. And also, he just simply sells it to his younger brother, Jacob. Esau makes a mistake by doing that. And at the same time, Esau does not keep his promise. When he sells his birthright to his younger brother, Jacob, he knows that he will lose everything that comes with that birthright. And so when his father said he would bless him, Esau should have told his father, Isaac, "Oh, I am no longer your firstborn. My younger brother, Jacob, is your firstborn. So you should bless him instead of me." But Esau did not do that. He was still hoping that his father still loved him, and his father did. And he was still hoping that his father would, in the end, still bless him. And his father tried, but was not successful. His father was cheated by his younger brother, Jacob. And so when Esau discovered that, he was very angry. He was very angry that his brother cheated on his blessings. And so he wanted to kill his brother. To summarize, all these four acts, all these four members of the same family, each of them has their own fault. And each of them suffered accordingly. When I analyze and examine these four members, and I couldn't help examining myself, I couldn't help asking myself, who do I liken myself to? Which person in the family am I like? And what can I learn from their conduct, from their misbehavior? And maybe you should do the same. When you go home and read chapter 27 again, when you study more in detail about these people's misconduct, maybe you can learn something too. Who are you like? Isaac? Rebecca? Esau? Or Jacob? What can you learn from this? To me, I think I am most reminded by Isaac. I really have to learn to observe God's will, to really discern God's will, to not do things according to my own desire or according to my own intention. I should learn to listen to God, how God wants me to conduct myself as a person, as a father, as a Christian, as a minister, so that I know how to lead His church, so that I know how to shepherd God's people. And I also think, what if I were like Esau? I was mistreated by somebody who is my brother. What if some injustice happened to me? How would I respond? What would I do? Probably I would behave in just the same way. I would be very angry. Some years ago when I was living in Victoria, you know, I got this parking ticket by Imperial. You know, Imperial is that company that looks after many parking lots. But according to the time and date, my car was not parked there. Yet they wanted me to pay the fine. And so I went to the office in downtown Victoria to reason with the manager. But the manager wouldn't listen to me. Yeah, he still wanted me to pay the fine. And I was very angry. But then, when I thought about myself, how often do I sin against God? How often do I offend God? And yet, every time, God is full of grace. Every time I come before God, God would forgive me when I confess my sins to Him. So this is what I learned. I should learn to be forbearing and forgiving. I should learn to forgive. I should learn to let the Holy Spirit interfere, to take over the matter, so that I won't do anything wrong further. Brothers and sisters, God has promised us that He would bless us. Despite our weaknesses, despite our, self-centeredness, God will still bless us. And in the process, we may suffer a bit, and yet in the end, God's will be accomplished. And so let us really learn to be people who are willing to humble ourselves before God, who are willing to let God's blessings come upon us according to God's will and not according to our way. And the Bible tells us very clearly, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you for sure. And what God will give to us is much more than what we think, much more than what we desire. Do you believe that? Today's family tragedy really teaches us we should not really act according to our own willful desire, our own selfish needs. We should really understand God is a Father of love. He is gracious and merciful toward us. When the timing is not right, may God help us be patient. When the timing is there, for sure the abundant blessing will come down on us, much more than we expect. Amen. So let us have a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God of love and you are God of grace. Despite our sinfulness, despite our weaknesses, you still want to make use of every situation to shape and mold us so that we can be more and more like Christ. And we thank you for your patience. We thank you for your understanding. And we thank you for working with us all the way. So Lord, help us be humble before you. Help us be really surrender our self to you, our will to you, so that you can continue to do amazing things through us. Thank you for not forsaking us. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.